Good day and welcome everyone to the Royal London Financial Results 2020 conference call. My name is Esther, and I'm your moderator for today. During the presentation, your lines will remain on listen-only mode. However, if you require assistance at any time, you can always press star and zero on your telephone, and a coordinator will be happy to assist you. I would like to advise all parties this conference is being recorded. Now, let me hand over to your host, Daniel Cazzeau. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Daniel Cazzeau, and I'm the Group Chief Financial Officer for Royal London. I'm joined this morning by Lesley Mitchell, Group Financial Controller, Shaun Cooper, Group Chief Actuary, and Rob Ferguson, our new Group Treasurer. This morning, we issued our 2020 year-end results announcement in a press release and stock exchange announcement. I'm going to refer to the presentation distributed via email earlier today to those of you who pre-registered. This presentation and a copy of our 2020 results announcement are also available on our website. 2020 was defined by the impact of the pandemic on society and the economy. As a mutual, we focused on how we could best support our customers in such a difficult time, and also on the health and well-being of our colleagues so that they could continue to deliver for our customers. Whilst the pandemic is impacting your business volumes and in your profitability, the group has performed well, which is due in no small part to the effort and resilience of my colleagues around the business, who have demonstrated their professionalism and flexibility throughout. This morning, I will take you through an overview of our financial performance and the strength of our balance sheet and capital position before opening up for questions. Starting on slide three. Our customer service was not disrupted through the pandemic, and our telephone lines have remained open throughout all lockdowns for customers to contact us as normal. We also made temporary changes to some of our products to take pressure off customers and relieve any burden placed on the NHS. We focused on providing support to colleagues and committed to maintain full workforce benefits and not to furlough anyone. We paid over £13 million in COVID-19 related protection claims, and although money can help relieve the financial strain of losing a loved one, it could never ease the emotional burden. Our thoughts are with all those families affected. The economic impact of the pandemic meant financial markets were very volatile. However, our asset management business, RLAM, performed strongly, with flows into our sustainable funds being a particular highlight. Despite reduced profitability, profit share allocations were maintained, demonstrating the resilience and long-term nature of the group and our ability as a mutual to enhance returns on eligible deposits. Our capital position has remained robust and ended the year at 190% on an invested view basis. The hedging strategy has worked well to mitigate the impact of the uncertainty, enabling us to continue to invest in the business to enhance customer service and generate long-term growth. The end of 2020 also saw the UK from the EU, and having taken action as a business to mitigate impacts on our customers after the referendum, I can confirm we experienced no significant impact on our operations. Slide four sets out the key financial highlights of 2020. As I referenced, the financial impact of the pandemic had an impact on our short-term trading performance. Operating profit before tax reduced to £41 million for the year. This reflects a reduction in new business, with new business contribution reducing by a third compared to 2019. In addition, experience variance and assumption changes, whilst positive, have reduced by £77 million compared to the previous year. This is primarily a positive expense effect from high new business sales in prior years that have not repeated. We have seen positive persistency experience variances in 2020 as fewer people changed employers and transferred policies during the lockdown period. We do expect some of this trend to reverse, and therefore have made specific allowance in our assumptions of £30 million for the expected impacts on our pensions business that will arise from higher unemployment caused by the economic slowdown and the end of the government's furlough scheme. We've also provided £7 million for higher mortality claims expected to arise from COVID-19. Our operating profit also reflects the continued strategic investment in our pensions business, enhancements to legacy systems, and the changes to our propositions to be able to offer customers a Royal London annuity, a proposition which became available in early 2021. A full breakdown of the components of operating profit is set out in a detailed announcement with a summary in the appendix. Profit before tax for the year is reduced to £131 million, reflecting reduced operating profit as well as lower relative returns on UK investments and further reductions in yields to historic lows. With a share profit allocation rate maintained, the total profit share for 2020 increased to £146 million, in line with growth in the aggregate value of eligible policies. Maintaining the level of allocation demonstrates Royal London's resilience in difficult times and our commitment to delivering value. Life and pensions new business sales decreased by 20% to £8.5 billion, impacted by the uncertain economic environment and disruption to services provided by intermediaries. This was partially offset by a 22% increase in UK protection sales as a result of enhancements to our proposition and the service delivery. 2020 was another good year for RLAM. Gross inflows increased to over £26 billion, driven by strong growth in demand for several funds. Net inflows were £3.9 billion, impacted by external institutional outflows. This reflects the overall decline in defined benefit pension funds and the reduction in cash holdings by organisations such as universities and charities. Overall, assets under management grew to a record £148 billion, with the success in our sustainable funds being a key source of the increase, as well as positive market movements through the second half of the year. As a result, operating profits from our asset management businesses increased by £14 million compared to 2019. Our capital position remains robust. The group investor view, which aligns with the capital position of the Royal London Main Fund, had a cover ratio of 190% at 31 December 2020. The regulatory capital cover ratio was 147%. The capital figures are after the effect of profit share allocation. I will take you through the movements over the year a bit later. Returning to new business in more detail on slide 5. Life and pensions new business sales on a present value of new business premiums basis decreased by 20% to £8.5 billion as the economic uncertainty, stock market volatility, and the national lockdowns caused disruptions to the services provided by intermediaries to their clients. As expected, we also saw the end of some previous tailwinds from auto enrolment and pensions freezes. Life and pensions new business margins decreased to 1.7% from 2% in 2019. Whilst a reduction, the impact on margin from lower volumes was mitigated by actions we've taken to control and manage our costs. Pensions new business sales reduced by 24% to £7.2 billion, driven by both individual and workplace pensions. Individual pensions new business sales decreased 25% to £4.8 billion, mainly due to individuals delaying decisions to consolidate their pension holdings and advisors having to adapt their business models early on in the pandemic. Workplace pensions new business sales reduced by 21% to £2.5 billion. Companies focused attention on the immediate impact of the pandemic and deferred decisions to move scheme provider. We also saw fewer people changing employers, meaning a reduction in new entrants to existing pension schemes. New scheme volumes did show signs of improvement in the period following the initial lockdown as the economy slowly recovered. We do expect the recovery in pensions to be gradual and not to the levels previously seen under pensions freedoms and auto-enrolment. However, we are well placed to benefit as the economy slowly recovers and remain a market leader in intermediated drawdown, with a strong service keeping us well positioned as confidence returns to society and the economy. Sales of our intermediated protection products grew 22% to £825 million. Enhancements to our proposition and maintenance of strong customer service throughout the pandemic have increased market share. Despite the growth in sales, the strengthening mortality assumptions resulted in a reduced new business margin of 3.8% and 4.9% in 2019. Our protection business in Ireland performed well, gaining market share through enhanced propositions. Due to the contraction of the market and policy cover sizes reducing, new business sales remained stable at £137 million and margin decreased slightly from 9.5% to 8.8%. Consumer sales reduced by 11% to £376 million. New business contribution turned negative despite the action that we have taken to reduce variable costs, such as the targeted reduction in direct marketing spend. Fixed acquisition costs were spread over fewer policies, and the low interest rate environment also impacted margins. There were, however, more than 50,000 new direct customers who joined the group in 2020. Slide 6 provides more detail on assets under management and net flows. As I said, assets under management grew to £148 billion, a record high for the group. This was driven by net inflows of £3.9 billion and positive market movements of £4.9 billion. Gross inflows increased to over £26 billion from £25 billion. In 2019. This is another record high for the group, reflecting strong performance in our sustainable funds. Net internal inflows reduced to £2.2 billion, reflecting the reduced pensions fee business. External net inflows reduced to £1.7 billion, driven by the net outflows from institutional investors, which is partly in relation to the continued trend of an overall decline in DB pensions flows. Our position at the forefront of the fast-growing ethical and sustainable investment sector is a key source of success. We experienced 128% growth in the value of assets in our sustainable funds, and Royal London Asset Management has an outstanding track record in sustainable investment, winning 5 awards in 2020. RLM also won a number of other awards, including the Investment 5-star winner at the Financial Advice Service Awards, which demonstrates the strength and breadth of the offerings across asset classes. Our investment performance remains strong, with 95% of actively managed funds outperforming their benchmark over 3 years. Moving to slide 7, you can see the credit quality of our diversified investment portfolio. Our balance sheet position remains robust, with our total investment portfolio increasing by £8.5 billion to £107.9 billion, as a result of low yields increasing bond values and the recovery in equity markets in the second half of the year, particularly outside the UK. Our portfolio remains well diversified across a number of asset classes, with the majority invested in equity securities and fixed income assets. As you can see from the chart, a significant portion of our portfolio is in high-quality assets. In our non-linked portfolio, 91% of our debt securities and 81% of corporate bonds have a credit rating of A or above at the end of 2020. There have been no significant defaults on our corporate bond portfolio during the year. Turning to an overview of the group's capital position, starting on slide 8. The strength of our capital base is essential to our business and to give our customers peace of mind that we can meet our commitments to them. Our capital position has remained robust throughout the year, which has allowed us to continue to protect our customers during an extraordinary, uncertain period, as well as providing the foundation to invest for long-term success. As I mentioned, the group's use of equity and interest rate hedging strategies, which stabilised the solvency surplus, have operated as intended and mitigated the significant effects of market volatility in 2020. The group's invested use solvency surplus was £2.3 billion at 31 December, and the capital cover ratio was 109%. This compared to a ratio at the end of 2019 of 219%. The regulatory view capital cover ratio was 147% at 31 December, a reduction from 159% at the end of the previous year. Slide 9 provides a movement analysis of the group investor view solvency capital position. We continue strategic investment with £90 million invested in areas we consider important for future competitiveness, and we expect it to deliver good returns. This includes investment in digital transformation in our pensions business and legacy system enhancements, including migrating a substantial portion of customers to a better platform in 2020. We also invested in a matching adjustment portfolio ahead of the launch of our annuity proposition, which has led to a short-term increase in capital requirements pending regulatory approval. Financing costs reflect a full year of interest costs on the subordinated notes that we issued at the end of 2019. We also maintain profit share allocation to eligible customers, and our decision on the appropriate level of profit share factors in its financial performance, capital, risk, and a group's longer-term outlook. The same key movements have also impacted the group's regulatory view capital position, which as shown on slide 10. Our capital position is sensitive to a range of market and insurance risk stresses. A sensitivity analysis for a range of scenarios and further information on the composition of our investment portfolio are set out in the appendix. The results of the sensitivity analysis show that the group's capital position is not materially impacted, even in the event of significant external market volatility. But to summarise, despite the challenges associated with the pandemic, Royal London has focused on providing the best possible service to our customers and the support we provide to advisors. Our strong service is a key foundation as confidence returns to society and the economy. Assets under management rose to record highs, driven by strong flows into sustainable funds, and we expect this trend to continue. This is all founded on our robust capital position, which provides us with the flexibility to pursue growth opportunities and to continue to invest. We expect this to continue with similar levels of investment planned for 2021. We have made good progress in 2020 and remain well placed to take advantage of new opportunities. Thank you, and I would be delighted to take any questions you have. I will now hand over to the BT call coordinator to begin the Q&A session.
Thank you very much. Everyone, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone. And we already have our first question, and it's coming from the line of Thiago Parente from FIL. Please go ahead. Your line is now live.
Good morning. Thanks for the presentation. I've got three questions. First, you mentioned the outlook for volumes. You expect some recovery as the economy picks up. What's the outlook for margins? Because they seem to have really collapsed in the second half of the year. I mean, you were 2% new business margin at the half year stage, finished the full year 1.7. Could you give a bit more sort of insight on the forces at play there and what your outlook is and what you can do to arrest that? You mentioned action on costs and on the pension side. The second question would be on the annuities. Could you just give a bit more details on the proposition and your appetite in terms of volumes, and also what sort of solvency strain you expect at least to start with from writing those annuities? And then maybe I'll come back with my third question, which is on solvency, but I'll let you go ahead with these two.
Yeah, sure. Thank you. But let me go to those, and I might pass to Sean to build on the answer on annuities. So just, I suppose, firstly, looking at half-on-half comparisons of margin, I'd probably caution a little bit of awareness as to those comparisons. So our margins for the full year reflect any changes we've made to assumptions towards the end of the year. We do that exercise on an annual basis. So some of the impact that you see on a full year basis is, in fact, reflects both first half and second half. What we have been wary of doing is ensuring that we're in a position where we can continue to write new business and service our customers as the economy recovers. Clearly, we went through a period of uncertainty through 2020, not always being sure quite whether we were going to be in a lockdown or otherwise, and a lot of our costs are in respect of supporting and helping advisors. And that's changed quite a lot as we've gone through the year and is in a much more stable place as we're in 2020. So I'd say I'd be a little bit wary of a comparison of half on half. If I look forward from there, though, I think we are a little bit fitter than we might have been at the start of 2020, given the economics. We've taken actions on our cost base to manage some of those things through. As you'll see in the report and accounts, we have looked at the operating model for the group, and we're making some changes in 2021, which will give us a bit more focus, and we've tried to harmonise some of our front office and go-to-market teams, which we would expect to drive out further savings in the future. So I'm not overly concerned about the real margins in 2021, although I made that statement recognising it's been an odd year. And then turning to annuities. So the core of our annuity proposition at the moment, and I'll say I'll let Sean add to this, is focused on some existing annuities and payment in our existing books. And the fact that within the CIS fund, we have already got a large portfolio of policies with guaranteed annuity rates. And we are effectively writing annuities in the main funds that are investing annuities from the CIS fund. So actually, from an overall group perspective, we don't expect a significant level of capital strain on the group from annuities. And so that flow is in large part internal. I referenced in the presentation that we have seeded a match adjustment portfolio during 2020 and pending approval from the regulator during 2021. So we should see some better coming through from that as well. I think I might have covered a little bit, but Sean, is there anything you would like to add?
Just in terms of the strain on the capital position, worth noting that what we're doing here is largely transferring the annuities from the CIS fund, which has quite a substantial amount of longevity risk in main, where we have very little longevity risk, and that means that the capital requirements in respect of longevity diversify away very well. So actually, we think that gives us some element of competitive advantage in this space, and it is also a very efficient use of capital, leading to very small levels of capital strain from writing this business in the main fund.
Okay, so it's mainly an optimization of where you're writing those annuities.
Absolutely.
And using the matching adjustment going forward.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You had a third question?
Yes. On solvency, I mean, just appreciate if you could to kind of remind us what the mechanics are in terms of the impact on the ratio, which is mostly sensitive to interest rates, whereas the surplus, does it kind of make sense given your asset allocation is more sensitive to equities? You said you obviously focus on the surplus, but you know, what sort of your tolerance level if some of these market movements lead to you know, the cover ratio, the regulatory cover ratio to drop to say the 130s. I mean, you haven't, I think, articulated a target range, but if you could discuss a bit sort of about your appetite and what action you could take if the ratio goes that low.
Yeah, sure. So why don't I start, and again, Sean, you can add to. From our perspective, you're absolutely right to call out the fact we do hedge the surplus. I mean, the size of some of those funds, particularly the CIS fund, you know, has quite a significant impact on the pure calculation of the regulatory view ratio. It really doesn't impact the overall strength of the main fund, which is where we very much focus. You'll see on page 14 of the presentation that we set out the sensitivities of the regulatory ratio. I mean, if we needed to take action if the ratio has been fallen, and frankly, by far the biggest potential impact is interest rates, and we've obviously seen a recovery since year end. But the kind of actions we would consider being quicker levels of new business we might be writing, we have some optionality on some of the assets we hold to potentially reduce the SCR further, obviously has a slight impact on returns. But would boost capital in the short term. But Sean, do you just want to add a little bit about how we look at the two ratios?
Yeah, sure. So in terms of the sensitivity of the regulatory ratio, that's really driven by CIS. So we have a large close from the CIS business, which is sensitive to changes in interest rates in terms of the movement in its SCR. It's actually very well hedged. So what we get when interest rates fall is an offsetting movement in the surplus funds, which compensate for that increase in SCR. However, in the regulatory ratio itself, we can't take credit for the increase that we see in closed funds, surplus funds. So all that comes through in the calculation of the regulatory ratio is that increase in SCR, and that's why you see that. But just to be clear, that is very well hedged, and therefore the position in the CIS fund is very stable in terms of its surplus funds, i.e. the own funds in excess of the SCR. So it really is a quirk of the regulatory ratio and the lack of ability to be able to take credit for anything in excess of the SCR coming through into the calculation of the regulatory ratio. The main fund itself isn't very sensitive at all to changes in interest rates. Very little sensitivity there, and that's why you don't see big changes coming through in the investor ratio itself.
Appreciate it. And would you consider setting a target range for the investor view ratio?
So we do have target ranges for both the main fund, which is in fact the investor ratio, and each of our closed funds, where we target a position of trying to make sure that in a 1 in 20 year event, we can still cover our SCR, and that we are, with the investor ratio, very much in our green target territory with the current level of capital that we have there.
Yes, but disclosing that target range is what I meant.
So, I mean, it's not something we've historically done. It's something we will continue to look at. I think there are a few things that we're slightly conscious of within that. So we change our view of target range as transitionals run off as well. So at the way we look at target, exactly as Sean says, is on a 1 in 20, and this is within that range.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
No more questions in the queue, sir, but whoever wants to ask a question, they can simply press star and one on their phone. We have one incoming question, and it's coming from the line of Christopher Condy from Insurance Firm. Please go ahead.
Oh, hello. Good morning, everyone. I was just wondering if you could just add a bit of detail on the matching adjustment portfolio. Once it's approved, how much impact will that have on your solvency ratio? Thank you.
Sure. So I'll give you a short view of where we are now and the impact of what we've seeded. And the answer to the exact question around how it goes through obviously depends on how the new business comes in. But broadly speaking, the impact on our investor ratio during 2020 considering that portfolio was between 3 and 1, so it was about 4%. So you can expect a proportion of that to come back, but obviously we will have the annuities in the portfolio at that point, which we don't have at the moment. We're just starting to write our business now.
Currently, we have no more questions in the queue.
In which case, and I'll talk slowly to give anybody an opportunity if anybody else wants to ask questions. But in which case, thank you all for your time this morning. I hope that was helpful. Obviously, you can help to take any other questions separately through our investor relations line if you have any follow-ups once you've been through the detail. I'll just check if there are any more questions, otherwise we can close the call.
We see no further questions.
Great. Thank you all very much for your time this morning.
Everyone, that concludes your conference call for today. You may now disconnect. Thank you very much for joining and enjoy the rest of your day.